Brother Danny say that Steve was under the weather. Now, if Steve was over across the pond and his boy would say that his dad was under the weather, that mean he had been hitting the sauce pretty heavy the night before. Thankfully, our language is not like that. Pastor did contact me last night and asked me if I'd teach this morning. So glad to do it. Want to share with you this morning what happens if an earthquake shakes your life. How many of you ever been in an earthquake? You ever been in an earthquake? All right, these folks from California have. I guess there's been some from around here. I didn't know it. I've never been in an earthquake. Now, most of us have read about major earthquakes. Remember a few years ago, that quake that hit Japan and did so much damage. And I don't know, I read it. It said it was so powerful that it moved the magnetic pole of the earth. I don't understand all of that. Most of us remember Mount St. Helens when it exploded and the devastation that it has happened. But what happens when an earthquake rattles your soul? Look in verse 2. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. The mountains shake. All of us sitting here are old enough to have had some very shaking experiences in our life. A number of years ago, I met a man on patrol duty. First time I'd met him, was with him on patrol duty. He had just had an earthquake shake his life. God had taken his wife of 42 years. Mickey and I walked these grounds, and Mickey would walk and cry and talk, and I just listened. That happened several times. One day he said, Larry, I'm looking forward to one day I get to heaven and Faye take me by the hand and said, Mickey, I want to take you to see Jesus. She's done that now. Mickey's in a better place. And I will tell you, I still miss Mickey. I walk out that door a lot of times and I'll look over to the right because Mickey was standing there so many times greeting people as they walked out the door. Earthquake rattled his life. You have a rebellious child. I remember saying to myself many times, my kid would never do that. But let me tell you something. When they do, it shatters your life. Baptist preachers, good Christians, are not supposed to have things like that happen. You have a wife that has postpartum depression so bad that you can't even let her drive, because she will drive out in somebody and try to kill herself. Has depression so bad that she has to have counseling and medicine. Things not that is not supposed to happen to Baptist preachers or good Christians. But Satan many times will shake our life, rattle our frames, the waters will roar. You sit in a doctor's office. You get a phone call. You hear that C word. What are you going to do? How are you going to stand? The waters roar. I grew up along the Wabash River, west central Indiana. At that time, the river was the eighth most destructive river in our country. I could stand in my backyard about a mile away in Flagstaff and hear that river roar. I stood as a kid and watched that river destroy my daddy's crops in the river bottoms. What do you do? How are you going to stand? The earthquakes will come. But look in verse 1. God is referenced 19 times in this chapter, in these 11 verses. God is our refuge. That word refuge is used 3 times in this chapter. Each time it has a different meaning. Here, this word refuge is a shelter. It's a place that where we can go and get out of the weather. Webster's 1828 dictionary says it's a cover, a place to defend us from injury or annoyances. That's God. He is our refuge. And then what does it say? He's our very present help in trouble. Folks, I could just stop there and just let you realize that when those earth-shattering things happen in your life, you can just go to God. He's your help in trouble. He's your help when you need it. Not only is he your shelter, but right now, God is your help. Just as a side note, you don't have to wait till you can get in trouble to go to God. Oh, it's sweet every morning to wake up and sit down at the table, open this book, and see what God has for you. Let God talk to you and speak to you. Sweet time that you can have with God. Maybe sit there with a songbook, one of the hymns. Just read God's word and sing songs unto him. Now, troubles come. Told us there in verses 2 and 3 how troubles come. Look at the last word in verse 3. Look at the last word. Selah. David uses this word a lot. Now, I'm not a musician. I couldn't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket with a lid on it. But I am told that this word Selah is a musical pause. It's time to just stop and pause a little bit. Why? Look in verse... In verse 4, there's a river. There's a stream. Hold your place there and go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. That river, it says it's coming out of the throne of God. There's a city. Folks, we can get excited about the fact, though the troubles come, there's a secure place. There's a city. The rivers flow from the throne of God. The blessings flow from God. Diana was pretty discouraged the other day. I'd put drops in her eyes after her surgery. And I said, you just lay here and just think of the blessings of God. Think of what God has done for you, what God has done to you, how he's helped you. I guarantee you, you start doing that, it's going to cheer your soul. It's going to lift you up. So there's a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That city is where God is, where God lives. It says God is in the midst of her and not be moved. Isn't it great today to have something that is secure, something that's firm, something you can stand on? You read many times in the book of Psalms how David talks about standing on a rock, the solid foundation, the firm foundation of the Word of God. Now, so God is in the midst of her. God shall help help her right early. God's going to help, folks. I will admit to you, when we found out Diana had cancer, I prayed. God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to. I struggled. I sought counsel from a very good friend of mine. Without saying anything else, Brother David just emailed me back some scripture verses. So I read those verses, and I began to understand how I can accept God's plan and God's will for us to go through this journey. I still don't understand it. I still do not know why. But I know I've got a God that's in control, and he's there ready to hold me. He's firm. He's fixed. So there's a city that we can look to. But let's come back down to earth just a little bit. In verse 6, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. I think we certainly see today about the heathen raging. They seem to be in charge, seem to be in control. And I sat some mornings and saying, God, why do you allow all this to happen? Why do you not, I read where David calls fire and brimstone down on his enemies from God. How God answers. But I have to accept that God is in control. There in the last part of verse 6, he uttered his voice and the earth melted. Sure, the heathen seemed to be in control. But from what I know of this book, God's going to get the last word. you read through the book of Job, and you read about all those friends that he had. He gave all of this advice. But you get to the last four chapters. God has the last word. And folks, we can take heart. God is in control. He's going to have the last word. In fact, in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Here's that word refuge again. Remember the first time the word meant shelter. This time it's the high place. You up on high, you have advantage. I don't know, some of you may have gone with us a few years ago when our seniors went up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We took a bus tour through Gettysburg. I remember stopping at a place called Little Round Top. The Union soldiers were on top of Little Round Top. General Lee and his men were in the valley. We were told by the time that battle was over, you could not take a step without stepping on a dead body. The Union had the advantage on top of the hill. And folks, when we're on top of God's mountain, we've got an advantage. We could turn to Him. We could look to Him. He is in control. Now, he goes on to talk about come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolate he hath made in the earth. Now, as we know our Bible, study the doctrine of end times, of end things, we know that that's going to happen during the millennium. We can take heart. This old world ain't our home. We're just a passing through. God is in charge. God will help us. He maketh the war cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariots. Instead of fretting, we can turn to God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, talks about keeping our mind in perfect peace when it's stayed on God. There's a lot to distract us out here. And we can get our minds off of God. You watch the news. You can think, where's the hope? What's hope? But if we keep our mind stayed on God, we're going to have peace. God is in control. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. Just hold your space, hand there, and Psalms will be back. Revelation 13, I am just going to tell you about the chapter. This is the chapter of the mark of the beast, of the Antichrist. The beast, Satan, is in control. He has control over all of the earth. I read this one day and read this chapter, and I started it in verse 14. Look in verse 1. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. Satan may think that he is going to be in control and going to have it all under his. But John looked, and there was a lamb. The Lamb of God was standing on Mount Zion. He's in control. He is in charge. Then, so what do we do? What are we to do? In verse 10, be still. Be still. That word still is relax. Be still. Why? Know that I am God. Know that I'll be exalted in all of the earth. I've worked fare booths and had people who come by that thought they was pretty smug and pretty smart. I've had people tell me, I'm an atheist, I don't believe what you're telling me. But my Bible says one day every knee will bow. Says God will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted among the earth. He is God. So what do we do when our foundations are shaken? When the floodwaters come over our soul? Look in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. We can turn to God. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hear that word refuge is used again. This time it means fort. It means a stronghold. First time, remember, it was just a shelter where you can get out of the weather. Next time, the refuge God gave you advantage on the high tops. And now he says, I am your fort. I am your stronghold. I used to be a walk-in on the Play of Liberty down the Sycamore Shoals at Fort Watauga. The fort was built to protect the people from Indian attacks. It was a stronghold. It protected the people inside. Our God is our refuge. He's our peace. Just pause. Pause this morning and know that God is there. He is in control. You see, in the Psalms, he uses the word Lord. It's all caps. This is Jehovah God, the eternal God, the all-powerful God. He is in control. He is our refuge. As I was thinking on this morning, I remember what David said in Psalms 23. A little chorus was written, and I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Folks, this morning, when the earthquake rattles our foundation, when the floodwaters come rushing over our soul, we can sing of the mercies of the Lord, because God is our refuge. God is our help in trouble. God is our stronghold. So just be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Oh, where would we be without your mercy? Where would we be without you being in charge of our life? We cannot even imagine, Father. We see all that is around us. We've seen what has happened to our lives, but we also know that you're there, you're in charge, and we can just be quiet and rest in your goodness. Help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got a little time before church, fellowship. I've done my time this morning, so I'm leaving. Told Diana one day, I said, it feels odd for a good church member to be walking out after Sunday school across the parking lot and people coming into church. But I am thankful that our church is growing and we happen to go to two services like this. There is an advantage to coming to early service. If you want to go out to eat afterwards, you can get in the restaurant early and not have to stand and wait. Lord bless you. All right, I guess we got through it. I didn't pass out or anything. So,
be careful there if you got
me. Oh, I tore your hearing aids out. You need help putting them back in?
Just a minute.